broadcasting live from the RNR studios in Las Vegas, Nevada. It's the premier destination for an inside look into the Las Vegas Raiders. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, presented by Tequila Embajador.
What up, Raider Nation? Welcome back to Raider Nation Radio, 9:20 a.m. on a Monday. I got to say, it's starting to get hot here in Las Vegas. I think it was in the 90s today, but it was a little humid. So it felt like that hot, kind of hot. It doesn't normally get humid out here, but I felt some humidity. It's starting to get warm. There's no question about it, but that's all good. We'll take the sunshine any day of the week, especially looking around. Still, there's some cold weather out there around the country. So we'll smile and enjoy our sunshine here in Las Vegas. It's kicking over on the Strip. This is a big weekend with the Final Four here, going on, but everybody coming into town to have their fun in and around the games. And tonight, really looking forward to tonight's championship game, Gonzaga against Baylor. I am torn on who might win this game. I kind of think that because Gonzaga, usually when you take that big, huge punch, maybe the punch of the tournament, you're always going to get smacked one time. And if you survive it, you're usually in pretty good shape. And I just think that Gonzaga took the haymaker from UCLA, survived it. And I think that they'll be, almost in an invincible mode going into tonight's game against Baylor. But man, Baylor looks good too. So hard to pick a winner in this, but I deep down, I think Gonzaga is going to win it. Can't wait to check it out after the show. Hopefully, everyone else is healthy, happy. Going to enjoy the game tonight. Going to enjoy some Raider talk. Big show today. We've got Willie Snead, the Raiders' new wide receiver, coming to join us at the bottom of the hour, 4:30. So looking forward to talking to Willie. And I'm going to talk to him about this. I got a chance to watch some tape of him over these last couple of years. And this dude's a warrior, man. He is half football player, half fighter, or equal parts fighter, equal parts football player. The dude is tenacious, and I think that's going to be very welcome addition on this offense and on this team. Just that mentality that he plays with, and I'm curious to see if that's kind of how he operates in the locker room, holding himself and his teammates accountable. I think every team can use a dose of that, especially a young team like the Raiders. So we'll see if that translates, if that's part of what he's going to bring to the Raiders in his first year here in Las Vegas. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador. You can give us a call. Please do. Would love to have your input. 702-365-9200. We're a day closer to the NFL draft. I can't wait. Thinking about the Raiders, looking at the Raiders situation, we obviously understand there's two big holes. Let's be frank. Right tackle and free safety. I think the Raiders are in pretty decent shape everywhere else at this point. Kind of a question mark right now at slot cornerback, obviously. Do you roll with Amik Robertson? Do you bring in a veteran? Do you go try to draft some competition for Amik, in a couple of weeks in the draft? Not quite sure exactly what the direction is there yet, but the fact that there hasn't been a whole lot of urgency or desperation in filling that hole after cutting or releasing LaMarcus Joyner, you kind of suspect that they have some plans being formulated, one of which I'm sure includes Amik Robertson, the young going into his second year cornerback from Louisiana Tech. I tell you guys all the time, go watch his tape at Louisiana Tech. This dude's a little baller. Tough situation for him last year, making that switch from outside cornerback to slot cornerback in a COVID year. Just never really able to get that foundation and really be able to settle in at his new position. We've talked about this a lot. It seems like a subtle change or an easy change. You're playing cornerback. Go defend your guy. But it's not as easy as that, let's be honest. And I think the savvy, nuanced fans understand that. You're lined up in a different area on the field. You're seeing the game from a completely different angle and a completely different vantage point. You're also being asked when you're inside to play more run. So you have run fits that you're responsible for. There's a lot that's going on out there in a new speed of the game going from college to the NFL. And it just wasn't, it just didn't take hold for Amik Robertson. But, you know, we've seen it a million times. Can't base somebody off their rookie year, especially as limited as it was for Amik Robertson, and especially given the kind of year that it really was, you know, for every rookie in the NFL. And some guys got it quicker than others, but then some guys just, they weren't facing the kind of challenges that Amik Robertson was facing, you know, making that big position switch in this kind of a year. So we'll see where the Raiders are headed at that slot cornerback. And, you know, do you bring somebody in to really push Damon Arnett, or do you feel comfortable that Damon Arnett, with a year under his belt, now healthy and removed from the wrist injury that didn't just, you know, affect his rookie year with the Raiders, but you go all the way back to his senior year at Ohio State, the dude was playing with a club on his hand, you know, for a big part of that year, if not the entire season, and you know, that didn't just affect the way he played in college, but it affected, you know, his weight room work and conditioning work. It carried over to the NFL. It looked like he was beyond it and playing really well in training camp. And then the next thing you know, he shows up one day with a bandage on his hand. And we're all thinking, what happened to Damon? And come to find out that he suffered another injury and tried to gut his way through it and grit his teeth and play his way through it, but it got to be too much. And after game three against the New England Patriots, he gets taken out and undergoes surgery. And 7 weeks later, he's trying to catch up to that train. That's really hard to do in the NFL. And I don't think they need to tell you guys that. You know, but we just get into this habit of a rush to judgment. And we kind of get tunnel vision sometimes in that. And in a way that doesn't allow us to have a little bit of reason, a little bit of nuance, a little bit of perspective in how we sometimes judge these young players, and not taking into account everything that they were dealing with. Like, it's no big deal. Like, these guys are robots. Go out there and play. Well, it's not that easy. You know, making the switch from college to the NFL is hard enough as it is. I mean, there's only a handful of guys each year that really step up and deliver in a major way. You know, if you look at the numbers, if you look at the playing time, if you look at the starts, if you look at, you know, the production, yeah, there's going to be some guys that flash, but there's going to be a whole bunch of other guys that are more in the development stage or more in the stage of plays well one game, play to play. You know, there's struggles, there's the inevitable transition, and there's some guys that just don't even get on the field that first year, but that doesn't mean that they're not going to get in the field second year or third year. Everybody's clock is a little bit different. So we'll see what the plan is for Damon Arnett. But again, the lack of urgency right now in bringing in a veteran cornerback at least leads you to believe that there is some level of confidence that that he's going to be just fine. And that doesn't preclude the Raiders. In fact, I would be shocked if they didn't add a cornerback at some point, probably fairly soon, I would imagine. The last I checked, the Raiders were, just the sense I get, I should say, is that maybe two more signings before the draft in late April. So, you know, you don't have to be Sherlock Holmes to figure out that's probably going to be in the secondary and maybe on the offensive line, but we'll see. Those are the two biggest issues right now. But otherwise, you know, I feel like the Raiders are in decent shape. Some question marks along the offensive line, no question about it. Young Andre James has to first beat out Nick Martin, and then he's got to hold down the fort at center. You know, Richie Incognito and Denzel Good need to be reliable and you know, available at the two guard spots. I suspect that's probably how it's going to play out, unless, you know, the Raiders add a dynamite rookie that comes in and tells one or the other, hey, I'm taking your job. We'll see. Maybe John Simpson, the second-year player from Clemson, comes in and is, you know, ready to rock his second year. So he's not going to go quietly into the night. I think that, you know, Denzel Good is still going to have a fight on his hands to hold down a starting job. And hey, competition is great. So whoever wins that job is going to be the best man. And I think that there's probably going to be a pretty good, if John Simpson, you know, makes the necessary progress or the expected progress, that's going to be a battle with Denzel Good. And whoever doesn't win is a good depth piece. So we'll see how that plays out. Obviously, right tackle is still the major hole, I would say, on the Raiders offensive line. I mean, you can pencil in Brandon Parker by default right now because he's the one guy coming back with any real experience. But I don't think that that's the plan, you know, for Brandon Parker to be the starter unless he plays lights out in training camp. And that's always a possibility. And maybe he comes in a changed man, an improved man, and ready to finally seize the job. But I'm kind of dubious on that, but we'll see. You got to keep your, an open mind about these things. But you go back to the defensive side of the ball because that free safety spot is becoming more and more not glaring. I think we all know that there's an opening there. It just becomes a position of focal point. And at some point, whether it's in the draft or free agency, they're going to make a move to bring in their starter with, you know, Jeff Heath being kind of a super sub backing up both positions. Although I wouldn't rule out the Raiders, you know, either drafting two safeties or bringing in a veteran safety and drafting a safety. And there's just too many times now in football where teams are playing with three safeties. There's also injury factors, so you have to, you know, definitely account for that. Had an interesting exchange with somebody in the know, you know, with the Raiders over the weekend. And I was doing if you get a chance over on, you know, VegasNation.com or Vegas Nation, the app, or if you want to just go to the Las Vegas Review Journal site, I did a position-by-position breakdown of the defensive side of the ball for the Raiders. And it just kind of struck me as I was looking at the linebackers with Nick Kwiatkowski coming back and Corey Littleton coming back and, of course, Nicholas Morrow being re-signed and coming back. I was thinking to myself, man, this might be the first time the Raiders, since John Gruden got back, are bringing back their entire linebacker core from one year to the next. I don't believe that was the case 2018 to 2019. I definitely know it wasn't the case 2019 to 2020, but it is going to be the case 2020 to 2021. Corey Littleton, Nick Kwiatkowski, Nicholas Morrow are all back. And I know that's, you know, sounds kind of like a small thing. A lot of teams do that from a year-to-year basis. But the fact that the Raiders haven't had that kind of continuity, you know, since John Gruden has been back here, kind of talks about, you know, where they were with the roster when he did take over. There were a lot of holes that needed to be fixed, and they kind of had to go through a lot of different players in trying to fill this and get it right, you know. And so the exchange that I had was, you know, obviously guys need to get better. There's no question about it. Corey Littleton has to return back to his form. Nick Kwiatkowski, I think there's still upside and improvement that he can make. And then Nicholas Morrow just needs to continue to build off what he put on tape last year. And I think the new coaching staff and the new system is all going to be conducive, you know, to that unit being fairly effective this year. I think that this is going to be a pleasant change for the Raiders to have reliability and production and continuity at linebacker. And so, you know, in reaching out to somebody, you know, it's kind of worded it that way. Like, you know guys need to get better, but it must be pretty nice to have a little bit of continuity at that position. And the response was kind of to paraphrase, but the Raiders feel really good right now, or a lot better, I should say. And I would, you know, highlight a lot better just about their front seven in general. And when we're talking about the front seven, you're talking about the front four, the defensive line, and the three linebackers, and not just the four guys that you're going to see on the starting in the starting lineup. I'm guessing that it's going to be Yannick Ngakoue, probably Quentin Jefferson, maybe Jonathan Hankins or Mo Hurst, and then Clee Farrell in the you know, base set. But that's all subject to change depending on the situation. Guys are going to move around. It's not just that front four. You've also got now Solomon Thomas, whoever doesn't win the starting tackle jobs, Darius Fibon, you know, and he's a guy that the Raiders are, I think the word that was used when I was talking to somebody, it's Darius Fibon, who they signed as a free agent. they are really, really, really intrigued by Darius Filon, who they signed as a free agent. A little bit of a backstory. He's been derailed the last 2 years. There was an incident shortly after he signed with the Arizona Cardinals. He had been a productive player, albeit in a role, you know, and but that's important because not everybody's playing every snap. You have to have quality backups. So you're signing guys, you know, not just to start, but to be guys that you could rely on as backups in a, you know, a rotational basis. But then also, you know, when you're looking at if somebody gets hurt, you know, you've got a plug-in player that's going to be able to hold down the fort for a little while. And they believe that they've got that in Darius Filon and maybe even a little bit more. They really believe he's got some sleeper qualities. And sleeper is probably a good term for him because he's been out of sight, out of mind now for 2 years after his career essentially got derailed. There was an incident, like I mentioned. Not going to get into all the details, but it resulted in him getting released by the Arizona Cardinals. It resulted in a legal situation that took a while to unfold. And ultimately, the case was thrown out and dismissed, and he's been cleared. And, you know, now he gets a chance to move on with his life, and he moves on with his life as a new Raider. And, you know, when you look at what he's done in his career, he's been productive. He's been a productive football player. And really, you know, if you're the Raiders at defensive line, and again, I can't stress to you enough how much more confident they are in that front seven and the rotation that they've built, the depth that they have, the various skill sets that they have. You know, when you're talking about Darius Filon, and when you look at him, this is a player who in 2018, he got 13 starts with the LA Chargers. Do you know who his defensive coordinator was? Yeah, it was Gus Bradley. Gus Bradley was his defensive coordinator in 2017 and 2018. So he knows what he's getting from Darius Filon. And age 23 and 24, in 30 games, including 17 starts, this is a guy who had 9.5 sacks, 63 tackles, and, you know, 18 quarterback hits, 14 tackles for losses. This is a guy that, you know, in a rotational basis, and then, you know, that 2018 year where he started, when he was on the field, he produced, and he was only 24 years old back in 2018, and that's why the Cardinals signed him to a 2-year contract. And, you know, he had obviously opened up enough eyes that the Cardinals wanted him to be a part of their program. And then the legal issue hit, the incident occurred. He's out of football, and he's been out of football for 2 years. And you know, in talking to some folks over the weekend, this is a guy that's chapping at the bit to get back out there. Imagine your career, you know, just like I said, literally getting derailed for 2 years. And, you know, money got lost, obviously. Opportunities got lost, obviously. And now he's back. And he's kind of back with a little bit of a vengeance. You know what I'm saying? Like, he's ready to rock and roll and ready to get back out on that field. The Raiders have a very, very motivated player that they're bringing back. And so, and they feel like there's some sleeper qualities to him, and not quite sure what the role is going to be exactly, but you look at those numbers, there has been a level of production. And, you know, you combine that with, you know, Yannick Ngakoue, Max Crosby, Clee Farrell, Mo Hurst, Jonathan Hankins, Darius Filon, Quentin Jefferson, Solomon Thomas, David Irving. We're now talking about 9 guys. Arden Key, 10. There's more bodies than there are spaces on the roster. Carl Nassib, you know, I don't know what happened to him last year. I don't know what happened to a few guys last year. But you know, I don't think it's a reach to think that there was some kind of correlation between system, the philosophy, the scheme, all of those things, and how some guys just weren't able to get uncorked last year. But Carl Nassib can play. I forget about the money. I didn't necessarily agree with how much they gave him last year, but it is what it is. It's not my money. And, you know, it's not crippled them in terms of being able to make other moves. It is what it is. He took a pay cut. He restructured his contract. He's back. But there's my point is the guy can play, and all he needs to do is do what he did in the years, the couple of years before he got to the Raiders, and he could be an asset. He doesn't. He's not a starter. He's not a guy that, you know, is going to get double-digit sacks, but he can be and has been somebody that in a rotation can help the defense. So what, I just named 10 guys. There's others. Kendall Vickers is still on the on the roster. He's coming back. And so who I talked to over the weekend and the confidence that they now have in that front seven and how much better they feel about that front seven, you think about how it relates to what it means on the back side of the defense. And this is, to me, a fairly important point to make and something to focus on, because if you remember in free agency, what did the Raiders do? They focused on the defensive line, almost exclusively on that defense. Aside from re-signing Nicholas Morrow, every move on defense has been to address the defensive line. And that is pretty telling. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more on why that is and what it means. What it means for that young secondary and how they're perceived, not by the outside, because it doesn't matter what I think or you think necessarily. We have all our own opinions. But what it means to this new defensive coordinator and his staff and how they are looking at this young secondary and how they're being judged and assessed and how they think they can function now with a much better defensive line. You're in the Huddle with Unibon Senior, brought to you by Tequila and Bajador.
You're listening to Raider Nation Radio 920 AM. Now, back to your host, Vinny Bonsignor.
Look at DeBron, man. Feeling is pumping out his chest a little bit because he got complimented on Twitter for his musical taste, which, you know, I totally appreciate, and I'm right there with you. But congratulations, DeMond, for somebody, for, you know, listeners recognizing the music and the music choices. I'm right there with you. It almost makes up for your ridiculous baseball take, trying to stir it up by even insinuating that the Angels' Japanese pitcher is better than Mike Trout. It just, you know, there's times where just
Vinny, who pitched who pitched four innings and who hit a home run? Wasn't Mike Trout. That's all I'm saying.
Don't. I know that. I know you're playing the heel guy because you with your wrestling, but don't. You're. It's just. It's. I'm just telling you. Don't. You know. And you know that too. Mike Trout is on a pace. I mean, he's second behind Babe Ruth in terms of all the numbers that you value players at. Like behind Babe Ruth. You've heard of Babe Ruth, right? There's a thing in baseball. There's a thing in baseball about you have to do it, man. You have to do it day after day after day after day. And I think that the kid's going to be a great player. I really do. But I do wonder if playing both positions the way he is and looks like he will continue to do, if it's going to take something away from one or the other. You know what I'm saying? Like even Babe was a tremendous pitcher. In fact, he was one of the best pitchers of his era early on, and then they realized, it's not going to work. You got to pick one or the other, and they obviously went with him being an everyday player, although if you look at his stats, the Yankees still every once in a while when they, you know, ran out of pitchers, they said, Babe, we need you to take the hill tomorrow. And he would deliver even into his 30s, like years later. So, but if you look at Mike Trout, his numbers through the first, you know, what is he, 27, 28 years old now, his first however many years he's played stack up to Babe Ruth. That's the wrong guy to be talking about. Mike Trout is as good as it gets. The only thing about Mike Trout that I feel bad about is I wish he was in, you know, I know Anaheim is close to Los Angeles, but it ain't Los Angeles. He needs to go play for like the Dodgers or the Yankees or somewhere where he's going to get an opportunity to perform on the biggest stage, because if he did, people would really understand how good this guy is. So, the music, you're good. Usually like your football takes, but the baseball one, I think you just need to go look at Baseball Reference a little bit longer and do your studying a little bit more. Not to say that the kid's not going to be a great player. And he was. Oh, man, did you see the play where he got hurt? I don't think DeMond is with us anymore.
No, Vinny, I was the reason that delay was because our next guest, Willie Sneed, just called in, and I just got a phone with him. So there we go.
There you go. Well, you just let the cat out of the bag. We were going to surprise everybody with that announcement. But without further ado, and thanks to our great producer, DeMond Cotton, for putting it out there, we want to welcome in Willie Sneed, the Raiders' new wide receiver. Welcome to In the Huddle. Really appreciate you taking the time on a Monday, Willie. Thank you so much. And first of all, welcome to Las Vegas and welcome to the Raiders, man. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you, man. I'm really excited to be a part of the Vegas team now.
Well, you know, in my job, I cover the Raiders for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Obviously, I host this radio show. And so when they signed you, you know, you go back and you look at the tape as much as we can, you know, find in our jobs. And Willie, I got to say that watching, you know, your highlights from the last couple of years, it just struck me what a warrior you are on the field. You're like equal parts football player fighter. And it's just there's a tenacity that you play this game with that just jumps out on the tape. And I just wanted to ask you, has that tenaciousness always been a part of your DNA when it comes to playing football?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I approach the game, you know, from a physical standpoint, just being, you know, aggressive and, you know, to the ball at all times. And, you know, that's one of my, you know, strongest attributes is, you know, catching the ball and being aggressive. And even in the blocking game, you know, I've gotten better at that over the years since New Orleans. And I've always been trying to get better at blocking and, you know, how I can help in the run game as well as the passing game. But just being a physical, a warrior out there, so to speak, just trying to do it all. And, you know, that's how I've grown my name in the league, is just a durable, relentless, physical guy that can, you know, basically do it all. And, you know, in Baltimore, we were very run heavy, so you probably saw a lot of, you know, physical blocking and a lot of big third downs over the middle, things like that. But, I mean, that's just a part of my game that has grown over the years, and definitely gotten better at it for sure.
You know, a couple of years ago, I was covering the Los Angeles Rams, and we went to Baltimore. I remember for a couple of days of practice, it was like a, you know, two-team practices out at Owings Mill, the facility over there with the Baltimore Ravens. And I think you were on that team. It was 2018, so you were probably there. It's a hot, sticky day, but I remember this about that Baltimore Ravens team. It was like this mentality, this fighting kind of mentality, gritty mentality, that I think it just watching you guys work against the Rams. And I know talking to the Rams, it taught them a few lessons, about that tenacity. They went on to the Super Bowl that year. But was that kind of the mentality? Am I right to think that a team can take that kind of a mentality? And that was what was going on in Baltimore?
Yeah, for sure. And it really started with, like, just the whole organization itself, playing like a Raven. And, you know, what does playing like a Raven mean? It means being tough, being durable, being smart, and just doing all the right things. Do what it takes to help the team win. And, you know, the Ravens has always been like a power run team, you know, play action. And that's the kind of mentality that was there when I got there, and I actually molded into that type of player that they needed me to be. And it started up front. Marshall Yanda was the one that led that pack, and you could just tell by his grittiness that, you know, he wanted to run the ball, he wanted to be physical, and it kind of just like spurred out into everybody. And, you know, as the year went on and, you know, things got good for us, I mean, we just continued to relentlessly get after guys and be physical and ground and pound the game and make it hard for defenses. And, you know, just the way they play their style of game, I was able to mold into that and bring another element to the offense. So that's just who the Ravens are. They've always been built that way. And just to be a part of it for 3 years was a great honor. And I've learned so much there just about the run game and different ways to attack it and things of that nature. So, yeah, that grittiness has been there for Baltimore, and being a part of it was just a privilege for sure.
We're talking to new Raiders wide receiver Willie Snead, and I'm glad you mentioned how you molded your game to fit that profile in Baltimore. And just talking to John Gruden and this staff, and I think that that's kind of the mentality that they're trying to build here as well. You know, and I'm sure John Gruden, in talking to him, that kind of comes across pretty easily, that he wants to get after it. He wants to be tough and physical and run the ball and play action off of that. But the fact that you were able to go and mold yourself into that kind of a profile, do you feel like what you can bring to this Raiders team, and they're along the way in that regard as well, but your experience having performed and played and seen what it's like to be in that kind of a environment, you think that could help bring some of that to this team?
Yeah, at the end of the day, it's just a mentality. It's having that mentality to basically beat the guy across from you for four quarters and apply relentless effort and pressure. And, you know, that's what great offenses do. Even when I was in New Orleans, you know, we were always applying pressure, whether it was in the run game or the passing game. And then when I got to Baltimore, it was just relentless run game effort, just getting after people, man. And that's a mindset at the end of the day. You can have people that have that mindset, but if everybody doesn't have that mindset, it won't work. And that's the one thing about being with the Ravens, was it was from top to bottom. You know, if guys weren't tough or they didn't have that mentality, it was going to show. And, you know, just setting the tone for that, you know, because I've always been that type of cat that just came in the building, worked hard, did with everything I had to do to get on the field. And, you know, I was just an unselfish player. I still am, but, you know, it's just at this point in my career, I want to be able to utilize all aspects of my game, not just blocking and physicality, but getting back to run, you know, running all types of routes in the offenses, scoring touchdowns, being a big threat in the red zone and third down. You know, that's the type of game I'm used to having. But, you know, being in Baltimore, I did what I had to do to get on the field and help my team win. So at the end of the day, it was just, you know, incorporating that mentality and just leading by example. And once you lead by example and guys see you getting after linebackers and DBs and safeties that are bigger than you, then it's contagious at that point. People just want to do what they can to help the team get better.
Yeah, and that's a point that I try to make sometimes to fans. It's not, you know, there's accountability, and there's definitely self-policing in locker rooms and with teams, and guys not being afraid to approach other guys to, hey, step it up and things like that. But it's even more than that. It's being willing to be a willing teammate and a helpful teammate, but also being present in team meetings, on the, you know, in the weight room, on the practice field, team buses, wherever, being accountable, being present wherever you are, and just letting that be a lead by example type of a situation. And do you feel like any of that needs to happen here with the Raiders, or, you know, in some of you're talking to some of the players, do you feel like everyone's kind of on the same page in that regard?
I mean, I haven't been in the building but for like 30 minutes, and, you know, I haven't really met anybody, so I couldn't even tell you what the locker room is built on right now. But I know when Derek Carr texted me, like, probably an hour after I got done at the facility and after I signed, you know, he seemed like a great guy, and he feels like they're on the cusp of being in the playoffs and potentially pushing for a Super Bowl. I know his mentality. I talked to Max, I think it was his last
name.
Crosby, I think. Yeah, yep. He's a Mac guy, you know, and he hit me up on Twitter and we got to talk a little bit, and I could just tell by those two guys what the locker room is possibly like. You know, the great character guys, you know, just watching the film, they get after it, they make plays, they do what they got to do to win games. And, you know, if those two guys are anything compared to what the locker room is like, I think, you know, I would just be adding, you know, on to that. You know, I would just be reinforcing what it means to be a great teammate, to be and a relentless player, to have a great mindset coming into work every day, and just wanting to get after it each and every week. And, you know, that stuff is contagious, being around guys like that. So
yeah, no question about it. And we're talking to Willie Snead, new Raiders wide receiver. When we talked to you on your Zoom conference call. You had mentioned that kind of from afar, you know, you were keeping an eye on the Raiders. Was that just kind of by coincidence where their games would pop up on the screen, or did you actively sort of seek it out? And one of the things that you did mention was you felt like at least what you were seeing on tape and on, you know, when you were able to watch, that this team was pretty close. What were the signs that you saw that led you to that conclusion?
Well, I mean, the first one I noticed was when they beat the Chiefs, and you know how they did it, throwing the ball, being aggressive, attacking, and then you know just as their games were on TVs, you know, just seeing the offenses, seeing the defense, and how they've been playing. You know, just even the Miami game, even though they took that loss, you know, they were fighting to the end, you know, and I got to see that. And it was just, I respect teams like that because, you know, at the end of the day, they're not going to quit. There's no quit in that team. And that's the team you want to be a part of if you're any type of player, just to help build onto that and help them get over that hump if you're able to. So it was from afar most of the time, you know, watching film. Our offense was totally different from John Gruden, so watching film of them wasn't really going to help me in any way, but from afar I did appreciate, you know, Gruden's offense and how the guys fought out there. So I definitely respected them in that sense.
You mentioned John Gruden, definitely a character, and I'm sure that came across in talking to him, but I believe he cares. In fact, I know he cares, and he's almost maniacal about trying to get this thing back in the right place and restore the Raiders to the rightful place. What were your impressions? I know it probably hasn't been a whole lot, but in the time that you have spent with him, talking to him, your impressions of John Gruden and how much he wants to make this thing work here in Vegas.
Yeah, he's a really down-to-earth guy, man, and I feel like I can talk to him about anything, you know, football, family, anything. And when you have a coach like that that cares, like you said, you know, you'll go out there and do everything for him. You'll run through a wall if you have to. And, you know, those are the type of coaches you want to be a part of. You know, John Harbaugh was like that as well. He was a great players coach, cared for his players, make sure they had everything they need to be successful. And I think Gruden is cut from that same cloth. And, you know, his offense is just another level of what he's been through. I mean, I've watched him when he was with the Raiders before he got with Tampa Bay, when he was in Tampa Bay, and then his whole Monday night deal, just appreciating what he thinks of the game and how he looks at it from his point of view. And, you know, as a kid growing up, you know, you want to be a part of coaches like that. You want to be coached up by guys like that. And I told him this. I said, when I found out that you wanted me a part of this team, I got super excited because it's like, in my mind, he's a legendary coach. And I want to be able to build onto his legacy and have that privilege. So I have nothing but the utmost respect for Coach. And he knows that he's going to get everything out of me once training camp comes around. And
yeah, you know, no question. If the tape, that tape doesn't lie, man, you play at like 120%, and it's fun to watch. Last question for you. Obviously, this is a new market here in Las Vegas. And, you know, the fans weren't able to be a part of it last year because of COVID-19. I think everyone's, you know, gearing up for this thing to really open the way everyone had envisioned it opening. Any impressions of Las Vegas? Have you ever spent any time out here? You know, what do you feel about basically opening a new market for a new team here in Las Vegas?
I'm not going to lie to you, man. I know you're probably going to laugh at me, but when I took my visit, that was actually my first time being in Las Vegas. I've never been to Vegas, never had the opportunity, never had the want to be honest. All my family's in California, so I would go, if I was going West Coast, I was going to San Diego. But I know there's a new market in Las Vegas, and I just think it's a great opportunity to build it. You know, it's 1 year, I guess it's been 1 year they've been in the city, and you know, I'm just really excited to be a part of something brand new like this. And I heard the stadium is amazing. It's beautiful, state-of-the-art. And that's just something that I'm excited to be a part of. I mean, I can let alone feel the fans just getting in there and getting their seats and being able to cheer. And, you know, that just motivates me to be able to go out there and work hard and put on the show for them each and every Sunday that we have a home game. So just super excited for the opportunity, man. It's going to be a great year, I feel like. And, just can't wait to see the fans in the stadium. I know it's going to be lit up that first game, first home game. So I just can't wait, man. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, I totally agree. And as someone who spent my whole life in California, just moved out here about a year ago, you know, I think you're going to figure this one out yourself. It's not a bad place to be, man. It really is a it's not what you think, and it certainly wasn't what I thought about when I thought about Las Vegas like you do. So it really is a cool place, and like you said, can't wait for the fans to get in there and get after it. Willie Snead, thank you so much for spending some time with us. Welcome to the Raiders. Welcome to Las Vegas. Can't wait to meet you. Hopefully there's like a real off-season and OTAs and training camp. We'll come out there and say hi to you, man. Really appreciate you spending some time with us.
Awesome. Thanks, guys, for having me, man. Look forward to meeting you.
Yep, likewise. It's Willie Snead, the new Raiders wide receiver. And guys, I'm telling you, I wasn't just saying that because Willie was on the phone with us. Go watch the tape of this guy. Go call up whatever you can find on YouTube. There's a lot of it. This dude plays 120 miles a minute, and he is a fighter and a warrior, and I think that's going to translate to this team. Just that kind of mentality, that winning mentality, that gritty mentality. I think the Raiders have been on their way in that regard, but anytime you add pieces that bring that element to the locker room, it makes a difference. It really, really does. You're in the huddle with Vinny Bonsignor, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.
Interact with the show. Text Vinny at 69187 or tweet at him at Vinny Bonsignor. This is In the Huddle with Raiders beat writer Vinny Bonsignor on Raider Nation Radio 920 AM.
Our thanks again to Willie Snead, the Raiders' new wide receiver. And, Willie Snead, I can't sit here and predict how many snaps he's going to get, how many receptions he's going to get. I think that there were some, maybe a little bit of head scratching going on when the Raiders signed him. But there's signings that happen to me through the course of a year, free agency, whatnot, or just additions that might not make all the headlines or anything like that, and they're not going to wow people. Sometimes they're even going to confuse some people a little bit. The Kenyon Drake signing, I think, was along those lines. And Willie Snead, what do the Raiders need another wide receiver for? Well, I think if you just listen to what he had to say, this is a guy who is a functional piece, and a productive piece on playoff teams. All right, who's trying to get to the Raiders or to the playoffs? The Raiders are. Who's trying to develop that mentality? The Raiders are. Who's trying to figure it out how to get there? The Raiders are trying to do that. And a guy like Willie Snead, who's produced on big time teams, you go back to some of the Saints teams that he played on. Brings that element, and I know we all, everyone talks about Hunter Renfrow, and I know fans, have a special place in their heart for Hunter Renfrow. This isn't gonna, a team is a team, and guys find their places, guys have their niches, guys have their roles, and Willie Snead coming in and maybe from time to time taking some snaps away from Hunter Renfrow or being, playing alongside him or situational football. Maybe there's some strengths of Willie that, he comes out and replaces a Hunter Renfrow. You can't get all caught up in all that nonsense. It's we, not me. That's a real thing. And it's important. It's a team that's trying to get to the playoffs. And you need to put your best foot forward on every single snap. And a guy like Willie Snead brings a certain mentality that the Raiders' offense doesn't necessarily have right now, but they're going to get it in him. I'm a big fan of a lot of guys that are on that Raider offense. It got younger this offseason without question. You bring in somebody like Willie, John Brown, the veteran wide receiver that they also brought in, another guy who's been a productive piece on playoff teams. It's important. It's important because it's not just what they do on the field. Obviously, it ultimately comes down to that. You want to see what they're going to, and they are going to get their numbers, and they are going to produce, and they are going to find their way, and they are going to be a factor. But it's also, it's so important with teams, the stuff that you guys don't see, and I'm not saying that I see it either. I get a glimpse of it, that's for sure, and I'm very fortunate too. But there's so much that happens behind the scenes, and like Willie said, molding himself into the image of the Ravens. He looked around and saw what that program was all about and figured out a way to become and embody that exact image and what the Ravens were all about. And he's bringing that to the Raiders. And I do know that the Raiders are trying to create something very, very similar. They go about it in a different way. Like Willie said, the offense is completely different. You know, going from Lamar Jackson and what the Ravens did with their quarterback and how they accentuated his skills and how that, transferred into their passing game and their running game and how they attacked people. It's quite a bit different than how John Gruden and his offense attacks people. They have a different quarterback. It's a different skill set between Derek Carr and Lamar Jackson. And I kind of got the sense, talking to Willie, I think that he's really looking forward to getting back to this kind of an offense, because remember, where was he before he went to Baltimore? The New Orleans Saints. And I've been saying this for quite some time. I'm not trying to say that Derek Carr is Drew Brees. Drew Brees is a Hall of Fame quarterback unto himself. But if there's a player that plays quite a bit like Drew Brees, it's Derek Carr. And he's getting there. He's getting closer to that every single day. Every single year, every single practice, every single play, every single snap, every single game, he's getting closer and closer to really becoming that kind of a quarterback. The accuracy, the getting the ball out as quickly as possible, spreading the ball around to all the various weapons, running backs, wide receivers, tight ends, exploiting the mismatches, seeing the game from the line of scrimmage, controlling the game from the line of scrimmage. I saw that in Derek Carr last year. And he's getting to the point where he's mastering that side of the ball. And I think that Willie Snead, in that offense that he remembers from New Orleans, which the offense that the Raiders run is more similar to the Saints than what he was doing in Baltimore. I think you're going to see him fit in this offense like a glove. And I think you're going to see Derek Carr continue to get better and better. He really is closing in on being that kind of a quarterback if he isn't already there. Go look at the accuracy numbers. Go look at the ability to take care of the football in terms of the interceptions, how he spreads it around, how he functions at the line of scrimmage, how he executes plays. This offense has a chance to take an even bigger step forward than it did last year. And guys like Willie Snead and John Brown and Kenyon Drake and Derek Fisher are going to be a big part of that. You're in the huddle. Vinny Bonsignore, brought to you by Tequila Embajador.